global business news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Radio Plus mobile app, and on your radio. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
From Bloomberg World Headquarters, I'm Catherine Cottery. The stock market closed broadly lower, more than erasing yesterday's gains. Healthcare companies led the retreat. Materials and technology companies also fell. Alcoa slumped 11% after its results fell short of Wall Street's expectations, while genetics research company Illumina dropped 25%. It announced revenue that fell short of analyst forecasts. Apple rose after rival Samsung announced it was discontinuing its Galaxy Note 7 phone. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg Radio. Dow Industrial Average plunged 200 points, 1.1%, to close at 18,128. The S&P 500 fell 27 points, 1.2%, to close at 2136. And the NASDAQ lost 82 points, 1.5%, and closed at 5246. West Texas Intermediate crude oil down 57 cents a barrel, 1.1%, to $50.78. Spot gold down $5.90 the ounce to $12.54.50. 10-year Treasury down 12 32nds with a yield of 1.7621. And that's the Bloomberg Business Flash. Back to you, Carolyn Corey.
Thank you very much, Catherine Cowdery. It's now time for the Bloomberg Real Estate Report.
This is your Bloomberg Real Estate Report. I'm Denise Pellegrini. Construction hiring is picking up. Employers in the industry added 23,000 jobs in September.
We're at the highest construction employment level that we've seen nationwide since December 2008.
Brian Termail is spokesperson for the Associated General Contractors of America.
We've got the lowest number of unemployed construction workers, people who had previously worked in construction and are looking for a construction job, that we've seen since the Bureau of Labor Statistics began tracking this data 16 years ago.
And Termail says homeowners, home builders, and commercial developers should brace for higher construction costs in the coming months.
Most of the materials that contractors use have been relatively, you know, the price for them has been relatively level, but as labor rates go up and the labor pool remains tight, you know, we're likely to see prices for construction projects go up as fewer contractors bid on the work.
Construction wages have already risen almost 3% in the past year. And that's your Bloomberg Real Estate Report. I'm Denise Pellegrini.
Did you suddenly realize that this could be the start of something big?
Wow. Went back into the archives for that puppy. Good stuff. We want to talk a little bit about
modern music.
Huh?
It's like the sound of music.
It's like the sound of music.
Other things I won't mention my next job interview.
No. We talk a lot about the growth and harnessing of big data, the role of data and connectivity as it pertains to the Internet of Things. But what about harnessing big data for the people? It's something that's been on the mind of our next guest. Robert Bell is back with us. He's co-founder of the Intelligent Community Forum. And you guys constantly are looking at data, looking at connected cities. This is what you guys are all about. Data for the people. Data definitely out there for the companies and corporate America, and for politicians and so on and so forth. What do you mean when you talk about big data for the people?
Well, the numbers we normally throw around, Carol, are about, big data for big companies. 50% increase in revenues for big data services from 2015 to 2019, reaching $187 billion, according to IDC. Terrific. The real question we're interested in is how do we use this same powerful technology to make the place called home a better place, whether it's saving lives, whether it's saving money, or just making it a great place to live.
It's interesting, too, because it seems like the world is awash in data, and that's only just starting. But actually figuring out what to do with it is going to become the big issue if it isn't already.
Well, and it's also figuring out who is it for. Figuring out what to do with it, but who do we benefit? An example that goes way back is the city of Rio de Janeiro. I don't know if any of your listeners were there for the Olympics or have ever seen it, but the whole city is basically on a set
Definitely
of mountains.
Definitely seen the Olympics.
Okay, good
Definitely
for you.
Definitely seen the Olympics.
So you know then, the whole city is on a set of mountains, right? There's hardly a level ground anywhere. And what that means is because they're in the tropics, they have terrible floods. Terrible floods.
Right.
There was one year when they had big fatalities as a result, so they put together some money and hired IBM to build this operation center for them. And it brought in data, cameras, sensor data from all across the city into one room where they put representatives of 26 organizations who are basically in charge of everything, fire, police, the bus system, the subway system. And so when something goes wrong for the first time in that city's history, everybody who needed to be at the table was at the table and could make a sensible decision together. They used to have situations where the flooding would get so bad and nobody would know about it that drivers would drive their cars into an underpass and just submerge. because the underpass had filled up.
Unbelievable.
So they've managed to save, I think, I can't remember what the number is, but they've literally saved countless numbers of lives from just this simple thing.
All right. I'm raising my hand in class, Corey Johnson. That's what I'm doing. So, Robert, I'm just thinking about climate change. There's some really disturbing and telling data. And yet, think about big data for the people. We're talking about civilization, like if we don't get our act together. And yet, it is so often widely ignored by many people. Why is that? And I know it's a political subject, but it really isn't. It's a scientific subject.
It is a scientific subject. We're going through a period where for the last, 40, 50 years, the opinions of the experts have not necessarily been the thing that have made the difference in people's lives, and so there's developed a lot of skepticism, about our leadership. People really don't believe what they're told unless they can see it and feel it and touch it, which is why some of the examples that we look at are so fascinating, because it's big data. There's nothing to talk about here. It just made my life better. I got a better bicycle ride. I've reduced the number of people who died in a fire. These are things that we can take home. The big scientific studies, you have to read them, you have to understand them, and you have to believe that the authorities are telling you the truth.
Know the source. I didn't mean to take you off on a tangent. I just have been thinking about
that. Something I think about a lot. It's how do we, if we can't agree on what a fact is, how exactly do we govern ourselves?
Exactly. Nice. Mm. That should be a license plate, I think.
It should be. There's a great example from New York City, just if you want to just sort of capture what this thing can do. The exciting part about big data is you've got these massive data sets, but the question is, what do you do with it? For so long, we couldn't really tell what to do with all this data, and then we finally developed the computational horsepower and the analytic tools to begin to actually look at it. So under Mike Bloomberg, when he was mayor, appointed the first chief analytics officer from mm-hmm. the city of New York. It's now called the Mayor's Office of Data Analysis. And this guy was named Mike Flowers, and one of the jobs he was asked to look at was what they could do about illegal conversions of apartment buildings. Because typically what happens is you'll have an apartment building that's designed to house six families, landlord goes under the table, chops it up into apartments for 60 families. And when something goes wrong in that building, the fire department can't get in, the people can't get out, the firefighters who do get in very often die as a result because they can't get out. So Flowers and his team looked at this problem, and they discovered there was a lot of data. And what they found to be important was, is the building in a low-income neighborhood? Because that's where the market for cheap housing is going to be most passionate. Was the building built before 1938? Because that's when building codes changed. Is the landlord in foreclosure, or is there a tax lien? Because if he's not paying his taxes, he's probably not taking care of his building. And my own favorite was, if there was a complaint, and then it was followed by another complaint about 6 months later, the odds that building was going to catch on fire skyrocketed. So they
really?
Put together – yeah, exactly. That's the great
that makes perfect sense, but the ability to sort of pick that data up and do something about it is the hard part, because back to what I said originally. Collecting the data isn't the hard part. Owning the data isn't the hard part. Using it's the hard part.
Well, and figuring out what's important. And the way they did, they just crunched numbers until they began to see a pattern that made sense, and then they tested it to see if it worked. And what they got out of it was, before the building inspectors were using this tool, they were finding severe, severe violations in about 13% of the buildings. So severe, something had to be done. After they started using the tool, they found severe violations in 70% of the buildings, meaning
wow.
that they stopped, they weren't looking for a needle in a haystack anymore. They were going where the problems were.
Full disclosure, we had no idea you were going to bring up that example. And, of course, Mike Bloomberg, founder, majority owner of Bloomberg LP, and, of course, Bloomberg Radio, and all the
and
Bloomberg
me.
Properties.
And a very innovative year.
And you.
So this is, nobody's going to argue with you about whether that's true, because it obviously is. It makes a difference in people's
big
lives.
Big data for the people when it comes to healthcare, you think it's going to be a good or bad thing?
Well, it's going to be a great thing if we can just figure, again, how to get it right. We already know a great deal about outcomes in healthcare. Now we get down to the issue of how do we use that information? How do we change the standards of care? And it's already happening all across the United States, finally, catching up with much of the world. We're finally starting to apply evidence-based practice and trying to standardize what has always been a kind of an art for physicians to practice. And they don't really like it that much because they've always had a lot of autonomy, right?
Yeah.
And increasingly, as you the more and more you know, the less autonomy you're likely to have. One of my great examples is IBM and their Watson program.
Yeah, yeah. Talk to many people over there. Yeah, or well, not many people, but people, you know, who are very involved
right.
over
and,
at IBM.
And that was clever because they put a huge amount of work to condition the data so they could do something with it. But ultimately, this thing is designed to just suggest to the physician three diagnoses that may never have crossed his or her mind. And that's kind of the power of this stuff.
Yeah, I think it's pretty powerful.
Well, and quickly with healthcare, is there one overall principle that healthcare or otherwise about privacy that should guide businesses and business people as they start to mine big data and collect big data?
Well, about 15 seconds.
Yeah, the answer is yes, and that is it is paramount. If you don't make this private, we're never going to be able to use this data to do better for people. That's a simple
put it out there. Make it transparent. Put it out there. Fun to have you back. Thank you.
Pleasure
Robert
to be
Hale,
here.
Co-founder of Intelligent Community Forum in our Bloomberg 1130 studio on this Tuesday. Just a reminder, stocks closing just off their lows of the session, down about 1.25% on the S&P, down about 1% on the Dow. And Corey, we're looking at a 1.5% loss on the NASDAQ on this Tuesday. Carol Messer, Corey Johnson, this is Bloomberg Markets.